You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. It's Nissan's Winter Warrior event. Lease or finance from 0% or get up to $6,000 in standard rate finance cash on select models. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Final Hour Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 2. Brian Hazy, O'Dog, Jeff O'Neill. Bob McKenzie, Hockey Insider, later in the hour. William Nylander voted the Comeback Player of the Year by the Professional Hockey Writers Association. I would assume Bob would have a vote in that. And we'll see what he had to say about it. And
I didn't think he should have been. I thought it was Declare the whole time. Like, Declare is a journeyman who's been bouncing around, struggled to even get on teams, and all of a sudden he's an all-star. William Nylander is supposed to be doing what he's doing. He's paid like that. He's supposed to be a 35-goal scorer.
I guess it comes down to how you define Comeback Player of the Year. Like, I have more of an issue, and it's not an issue.
If it's the difference of stinking and then being good, then it's him.
Yeah, but he stunk last year, William Nylander, because of the position he put himself in with the contract.
Therefore, he voids the idea of being the Comeback Player of the Year.
That would be my stance.
Right.
Like, it doesn't take anything away from what he's doing this year. The accolades have been there for Nylander.
Yeah.
But...
And he deserves them all. You did what you did to yourself last year.
Yeah, you fell off a cliff because you negotiated the way you negotiated. The Leafs are just as guilty, the 50-50 chop in terms of that. But that's why he threw away a season in his career. That's why, because he needed the 6.9 over 6. If he signed in September, he probably would have had this year last year. Mm. I assume. You know, it would have been really close to it. Max Pacioretty in the top three. I think he deserves to be right there, too. He is lighting it up in Vegas. Like, he looks like prime Montreal Canadian Max Pacioretty. But Nylander's had a great year, and we talked about this in the 4 p.m. hour. You know, if we put the cart way before the horse and the Leafs actually end up missing, I think Matthews, Marner, Nylander are all going to come out. They won't say this publicly, but basically they'll be thinking, we pulled our weight. Like, if Matthews sets a new record for goals scored by a Maple Leaf with 55-plus, you're not going to say much about that. You can't really poke any holes in that season. If Marner averages per game what would add up to a 100-point season, only two players in Leaf history have done that, Gilmore and Sittler. Two Leafs ever have had a 100-point season.
I know what you're saying about it. The players are going to look at it and say, well, I did my job.
Nylander, if he ends up with 35 and 70, he's going to say, what do you want out of me?
Okay, but then someone else is going to say, how come Tortorella gets that group of players without a superstar to play like that and win games?
Then talk to the coach.
Yeah, that's...
I guess, but I don't think...
It's a pretty good team on paper when they're all healthy. It's like, why didn't you guys play better? You didn't want to, or you don't want to do this or do that. Guys in Columbus do it.
Yeah, they do. Like, Columbus won again last night. Columbus is 5 points up on Toronto.
Yeah.
That is an astonishing number, considering what I thought both teams were going to be in September. The Leafs have underperformed, and Columbus has completely exceeded my expectations. And I don't think I'm alone. I would suggest probably everyone in the league, including people in Columbus, have been surprised with how they've played. But Matthews, Marner, and Nylander are probably going to be able to say, hey, we pulled our weight. John Tavares, maybe not as much as captain. He hasn't had as great of a year as he did a year ago. Freddie Anderson, I think, is really going to have to explain himself if he doesn't pick it up over the final 33 games. And I don't think it'll fall on the coach because he jumped on board halfway through. I think it'll be the GM. I think Kyle Dubas, if they miss, and Matthews scores 55, Marner has 100 points, Nylander 70, say, what about the rest of the lineup? Like, why didn't you find the depth on defense? Why did the trades not work for you? Why didn't you find a backup goaltender? It'll be revisionist history, and we'll be looking backwards, and hopefully we don't get to that point. But I think that's what's at stake over the final 33 games. Freddie Anderson and Kyle Dubas must be thinking, we have to get in.
We got to drill down here, and
yeah.
As soon as they fire up, they got to be just dialed in.
Yeah. And it's not that the big boys don't want to get in. Of course they do. Of course they do, because it won't tarnish the numbers, but you'll have a different feel. Like,
it's not about one element or the other. It's just they all got to put it together and play.
But picture this. Let me paint a picture for you. Game 82. Leafs have been eliminated from the playoffs. Matthews scores his 55th. Do we celebrate that?
Well, of course.
You know what the mood's going to be here? If they're mathematically...
It'll be similar to Matt Duchene getting his 30th when they lost. Patrick Waugh was mad at him. They were losing 4-1, and he was throwing his arms up in the air in the corner.
Yeah, remember that?
And Patrick Waugh was like, what the hell is Duchy doing?
Celebrating a career high in goals.
Yeah. Well, this will be more magnified. This is the highest in the organization.
In Leaf history, it's been around for over 100 years. No one scored 55. If he hits 55, but they're mathematically out, the mood is going to be weird. Like, I know that's an ugly, dark hypothetical that no one wants to accept right now, but they're staring at it based on where they are in the standings with 33 games to go. Bob McKenzie in about 20 minutes. All right, we've been teasing a game that I don't even know if it's going to work, but we'll try it. We have no intro. I don't believe we have an intro. We've never really done this before.
We got no intro?
You can have multiple options, both of them somewhat extreme, and you've got to pick which one you would rather have. Okay? You ready for this?
Would you rather?
Would you rather? Before the deadline, you have a deal on the table. It's going to cost you either Andreas Janssen or Kasperi Kapanen or a future first-round pick. Which piece would you rather trade?
It's one of the two first players you just mentioned because they already don't have a first pick next year. You can't just keep tossing away first-round picks.
No, you can't.
Unless they're so dialed in, like back in the day when L.A. was on that run in Chicago, too, it was every year, first-round pick gone. And it was warranted.
Now, the argument is Kapanen and Janssen, you already know who they are and what they are. They're here, they can play, they can perform for you. They're like, are you going to hit on that first-round pick? There's no guarantees. I would answer Kapanen is the guy, even though I think he's got more potential than Janssen. I just look at the depth chart, and this is where he's going to be. This is the limitation for Kasperi Kapanen. He's a third-line right winger.
Not in his mind. He's probably thinking, if I go somewhere else, I can be a top-six guy.
But he might be, but by default, like depending on the team. Kapanen's a good player. He's not a great player, right? Like there are teams in this league where he would go and get much more opportunity. But that, you know, if you're a second line right winger by default because of the team isn't that deep, what are you actually in terms of where the league is at? But with those options, I would say Kapanen.
I'm going to go with Janssen. I thought it was just one or the other, but if you have to pick.
That's why it is called Would You Rather. Would you rather? The Leafs were a wild card team. I can't believe we're playing this game. And I can't believe this is an option, though, because this was an option forever when, like, the dark ages of the Maple Leafs. And it says something about where they are on the standings.
You have to get some Price is Right music for when he asks the question.
Would you rather see the Maple Leafs sneak in as a wild card team or win the lottery and pick in the top three? So miss the playoffs, but win the lottery.
No, I want them in the playoffs.
Playoffs. It has to be. We played that game.
Some more small market teams. There's not McDavid sitting there.
We used to do that. We used to do that all the time here. When they were bad, and it was like in September, hey, do you think they could get there? Would you like to see them sneak in and lose in the first round? You're like, no, they need to blow it up.
They did that
to
us a couple years, and we're like, screw it.
Yeah, I have no interest. Like, even if you say, if you tell me Lafreniere could be a Maple Leaf for the next 15 years, or they sneak in.
They got enough. They got Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner and John Tavares. They don't need Lafreniere.
No. Get in. Do whatever you have to get in. Would you rather see Tiger Woods? Oh, there you go. Tiger Woods win another major, or a Canadian golfer win a major?
I gotta go and side with the boss on this one. The guy in the red shirt, like on Sunday, winning a major.
Treason.
Treason. Fist pump, like I've never done on one of my NHL goals.
Hand your passport in.
I love Graham Dillette. I love Mike Weir. I love all the boys. Mm-hmm. Corey Connors. Hadwin.
I'll say Tiger Woods as well. As much as I'm going to call you
fraud.
Up. I don't have a connection to them. Like I love that they're Canadian, but I don't have a connection to you other than the passport. You know, it's like rooting for a Canadian team in the playoffs that isn't your team just because they're Canadian. I love seeing Tiger. It's more interesting. It's better for
content.
What
about this one? If it's on Sunday on the back nine, it's Tiger paired with Adam Hadwin or Graham Dillette, and one of them's got to win the Masters.
Still say Tiger Woods.
See, I think that's a joke. That's where I flip.
Why would that flip it? It's still the same thing.
I don't know. I just think if it was that close and the opportunity was
You would take your boy, Graham Dillett. That's your guy, huh? Saving face up here in Canada. Would you rather have Dan Marino's career or Eli Manning's career?
I got to go with Dan Marino just because of the whole look. You see the pic of Eli Manning on the beach, you're just like, come on, dude. Eli Manning or Dan Marino? Dan Marino's a stud.
South Beach, Miami.
Owns it. I've been at a few functions with old Danny, too.
Oh, dude, him in Miami in the mid to late 80s, it may have been like a bar play Hall of Fame, unlike anyone we've ever seen before. But I'm going to say Eli, because even though Marino, he established all the records, they've all been beaten now. Favre beat him, and then Peyton beat him, and now Breeze is beating him, and Brady's beating him. You can't take away two Super Bowls from Eli, and New York's a better sports town. Like, Miami is, it's
you
flaky.
You crap on Miami.
Miami's games. It's a garbage sports town. It's flaky.
And what about when the Heat were there with LeBron?
Yeah, exactly. That's it. They showed up for LeBron, and then they checked out when he left. And even if you look back on it, remember that game when Ray Allen hit that shot late against San Antonio, one of the
was
most famous shots? Three ball in Miami, game six, to keep them in the series. They went on to win it, I believe, in game seven. People left the building. Half the building was shut down. You know why? Because Miami is a garbage sports town.
Yeah.
So Eli in New York, I would take that.
Well, there's people in Miami that say, oh, Toronto thinks they're a great sports town. Their team hasn't won a Stanley Cup since 67. The Raptors won a championship. And the Blue Jays haven't been good since 92. So why are they warranted to be this great sports town? Answer that! That was a mic drop you can't deal with!
When was the last time the Panthers... They don't even know the Panthers exist in Miami. They don't.
Okay.
They have no idea.
But that's what they're
going to
say.
The Marlins are the biggest joke in baseball.
That's what they're going to say. You think you're Mr. Sports Town, but what have you guys done?
We've done a lot, just as much. They have two... Well, they got more titles. They won in 06 in Miami.
But they're going to say, just because you're a big city...
That's right.
And you're all... Your arenas are downtown.
Yeah,
that makes you Mr. Sports City.
Right. Why are you Mr. Miami?
I'm not Mr. Miami, but I'm saying...
Miami's a garbage sports town. It's just a fact. Toronto isn't.
I'm just telling you what they say.
Well, they can say whatever they want.
Big buildings makes you a good sports town?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Would you rather see Tyson Berry and Jake Muzzin walk in free agency or re-sign both of them in free agency?
I don't want both of them back. I just want Muzzin back.
Yeah, Tyson Berry. There's
Tyson Berry's
no way you can re-sign
him. He's going to want $7 million a year.
He's not getting $7 million. He has cost himself so much money.
Well, he might have to end up getting some kind of Jake Gardner deal. Who knows? He might be playing himself into that.
Let's be honest. Jake Gardner at his prime
seven.
Was better than Tyson Berry.
This year.
That's what I'm saying. This year, in terms of what like
Tyson
Jake
Berry
Gardner,
had a lot of street cred coming into this year. He was the quarterback of the power play in Colorado.
Gardner had a 50-point season, though.
Okay, I'm just telling you, man.
I understand.
Just because it's your dumb game, you don't have to get all mad.
I'm telling you.
I didn't know either or would piss you off so much.
I'm saying
you have Bob Barker music on and you're just steaming hot over there.
Jake Gardner took a lot of heat in this town. Now, Barry's taking just as much, but Gardner in his prime, healthy, was just as good as Tyson Berry. I mean, he was. And the way Barry's played this year,
there was a lot of talk last
year
that Jake Gardner was going to get the most of anybody, other defensemen.
And he got nothing. Yeah. Well, that's not true. He got 4 years at four or whatever, and now they're dying to get rid of it because it's not working for him down there. But I would say I would prefer they both walk because I'm the Tyson Berry experiment. Unless something changes in 33 games and into the playoffs, I mean, you always hold out that option that is potentially going to take place. I do want them to re-sign Muzzin. This is a final one courtesy of Le Grappler, okay? Giannis Antetokounmpo is a free agent in 2 years. Kawhi Leonard has the potential to opt out and be a free agent in 2 years. You rather see Kawhi come back and sign with the Raptors in 2 years or Giannis sign with the Raptors in 2 years?
I have to say Kawhi because I think Kawhi beats Giannis. I think Kawhi knows how to win more than Giannis. But age could also be a factor there.
I would
say Kawhi might be with that injury and load management and getting older. Maybe Giannis figures it out.
I would say Giannis. I would say Giannis.
Yeah, I'll agree with you. I'll say Giannis.
I would say Giannis because of the age, because he's a freak. I mean, Kawhi is as well, but Giannis is a totally different player. And
but
also,
somebody's got to get to him sooner or later and say, you being a freak is not going to win a championship.
No, I understand that. He's got to get to that point. And Kawhi's won it twice, so he doesn't have to explain himself at all. There's an element of, well, Kawhi would realize what he missed, and I think I would appreciate that. But I would prefer, like, you that ship has sailed. Like, you're out. You know, like, you decided to leave. You won a championship and walked. I'm not going to say I wouldn't want Kawhi back. Of course I would. But if it's an option between him and Giannis, I'm taking the new blood, the new guy who's saying, this is a part of the this is a ship I want to jump on. Giannis all day.
There's a part of me that recency bias would think that what he left once, you think Kawhi in 2 years is going to say, oh yeah, I'd love to go back to Toronto.
No, it's probably
I've set
not
up shop
happen.
In L.A.
No.
I actually give that a thumbs down. I would
rather
not have that question, Grappler.
I thought it was a great one.
No, because it's a slam dunk. You know the answer to it.
I thought you said Kawhi.
No,
what the hell are you
Giannis,
talking about?
Not Giannis.
All right. Okay, Bob McKenzie, your hockey.
We got to get a sting for that game. I like the music. Did you like the music?
Mm-hmm. I think there's some potential there. We've played that before, like in some capacity. It might have been called something different.
Let's just be honest. We play it when we're dying to, like, airspace.
Well, it's the two of us today, and you never know what we're going to get. We never
that
really know.
That is code for where my headspace is at.
You've been very good today.
Yeah. And by the way, you haven't exactly been...
I wouldn't say it's a top 10 show for
low
me.
Low energy Jeb Bush, or whatever the guy's name is.
Low energy Jeb?
After you got off that flight, you had one good day on the way back, and then you were low energy Jeb Bush.
Tuesday, Wednesday was bad. I was so tired yesterday, I didn't understand it. I was exhausted. Driving home, I was so tired. That never happens. Usually I'm kind of jacked up and, like, energized after a show.
But don't the kids go to daycare and you go in the man cave and just shut it down all morning?
No, I don't. We got the baby at home. So if she goes to sleep, I have that option. But she'll be at the daycare in a couple of months. That is a big game changer.
When they're both at school. Does Erin go back to work?
She'll be going back. Yeah, when I have the house free, it is on.
You morph into a three-toed sloth.
Yep, I sure do.
And I know what that routine is.
Yeah.
A three-toed sloth.
Yeah, if my girls are all gone and I know they're not coming home, and it's go time for me, couch calling my name, and I'm tired, I didn't sleep well the night before, a pregame is happening.
All right, buddy.
You can bank on it. Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider, back into Jake Muzzin. Will he return Monday night? What kind of contract parameters would we be looking for? Would he be looking for? Would the Maple Leafs be looking for? Get back into McDavid's injury status, or I guess he's healthy, but the recovery to the injury he suffered last year. See what Bobby Mack has to say about that. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider, will join us in a moment. Bob was down in Florida, I believe, earlier in the week. I don't know if he's back home or not. But getting himself a little bye week. Everyone's getting a bye week. That's great. We've got about 30, 35 games left once we return. And we have Brian McCabe join us from the Florida Panthers front office in the past hour. And he was kind of disappointed that they hit the bye week. The Panthers have been red hot. The Leafs couldn't wait for a bye week.
You don't want that bye week when you're on a heater. It's just like, man.
Well, how about Paul Maurice? Did you see him post-game last night? Because they lost again. They're 1-6-0 in the last seven. Like, Winnipeg is really starting to choke it away and fade away. Similarly to what Toronto was doing leading up to the break.
And I think Winnipeg, they need help. They got to go get some defensemen, or they need help. They got Blake Wheeler playing second-line center.
Mm-hmm.
Can't happen.
No, they're in trouble. Like, they're in trouble. And Wheeler said after the game, he's like, it's not an effort thing. We're giving it all we can. We can't get it done right now. And you could tell Maurice was spent.
You can tell from Blake Wheeler's message. He was like, we'll see coming down the stretch here what kind of performance we have or what kind of team we're putting on the ice.
You think that was code for this is as good as it's going to get if we are currently constructed the way we're currently constructed? Is that what you're saying?
If you were ever involved in the National Hockey League, that's exactly what that meant.
Well, why be filled with codes? Why not just lay it on the line?
Because
that would take stones.
Well, that's what you would do.
Yeah, that's right.
You'd be like,
right.
The GM better get us some players.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's probably what I would say.
I think Kyle Lowry did that a couple years ago.
Jose Bautista used to do it all the time. Yeah. Remember Bautista? They'd get to the All-Star break. He'd be like, well, let's see what Alex has up his sleeve. You better pull the trigger on something. Like, literally just calling out his GM all the time. And I guess maybe that's not the way they do it in the National Hockey League. Here's Bob McKenzie, your hockey insider. I don't know. Did you see Blake Wheeler post-game last night, Bob? Did you see his comments after the game?
No, I did not see that. What did he say?
Well, I'm paraphrasing, but he essentially said, you know, we gave it our all. We're doing our best here. It's not an effort issue. And O's interpretation of that is...
Well, you got to put the whole comment in there. He said, we'll see what kind of team we have together here after the trade deadline, which to me means we need some help.
Yes. Yes, I would agree with that. And I think he's right. I mean, you know, they've had an excuse for much of the year because of the uncertainty of the Bufflin situation. But I got to think as we get closer here, so... What are we? Was it 4 weeks on Monday? Or 3 weeks on? Wait a second. What's the date today?
Yeah, we're about a month away.
Four weeks this Monday is the trade deadline. At some point, the Jets have got to make a calculation on, okay, so we've been kind of holding a spot for Bufflin, but he's had ankle surgery. There's been some talk that he maybe started to skate a little bit, but now there's talk that maybe things are stalled or whatever. You got to start thinking to yourself, what kind of shape is this guy in if he does show up? How long is it going to take him to get going? We've got, you know, $7 million in dead cap space and actual dollars until an arbitrator rules otherwise to spend. Maybe we need to go out and get some help here because for the longest time they were in good shape. I mean, up until Christmas, just before Christmas, they started to sag a little. But the sag has gone a lot deeper than a sag post-Christmas. And if not for Hellebuck, they're at the bottom of the league or close to it. And I thought Paul Maurice has done an amazing job. And I think the team had done an amazing job of battling adversity and winning some games they had no business winning and staying close in others. And that really starting to feel like if they don't make a move and if they don't bolster things, they're not going to make it. And they're a team that, on paper, with the group they've got, especially up front, you know, Scheifele, Wheeler, Connor, Laine, Ehlers, you know, Matthew Perreault, you know, if they're healthy and now they've also had a real bad run with injuries. Now Lowry's out for quite a while. So, but I think they, you know, if Blake Wheeler was sending the not so subtle message to Kevin Cheveldayoff, or to the fans, or to everybody, I would tend to agree with them that if they want to be a playoff team, they're going to have to do something.
Well, if someone just tuned in the past 3 seconds, they'd assume we were talking about a different team in Canada, and not the team in Winnipeg, right? They'd be thinking, well, they're clearly talking about the Maple Leafs because the Leafs are 4 points out of a playoff spot. Like, yep. Columbus won again last night. Mm-hmm. Columbus is 5 up on them. Florida's 4 up. Carolina's 4 up. And it's the same thing up front. They're loaded. You know, Owen and I have been discussing it all day, Bob, that if Matthews hits 55 goals, no one's going to call him out. If Marner averages what would be a 100-point season, no one's going to call him out. William Nylander hits 35 goals and 70 points. He's not going to get called out. It's basically Tavares has a chance to take some heat. I think he needs to have a big 33 games. Freddie Anderson has got to be a lot better. And with a rookie coach, he probably won't be in the crosshairs. It's going to be Kyle Dubas. Like that's who's yeah. You're not going to yell and scream about depth players.
No, but what I would say two things to that. One, you're right, and I would think and this is just opinion, not based on any, because I haven't really been digging hard on the day-to-day NHL stuff. I've been crunching a whole bunch of draft numbers here for the past 5 to 7 days.
And digging your 9-iron into the ground.
That too. Only once, though. I got out once. I'm not much of a golfer, but I did get out. But I would say that I don't think there's any question that Kyle Dubas is looking for a defenseman, but I don't think he's looking for like a short-term fix. We got to get a defenseman because Morgan Riley's injured. He's looking at a defenseman because he's looking at next year and the year after and saying, okay, we need a right shot D. You know, I think they've had preliminary discussions with Jake Muzzin. All things being equal, maybe they get him signed, maybe they don't. But let's presume for a moment that they do at some point. And you've got Riley and you've got Muzzin and you've got Dermott. So your left side is relatively set, if you want to call it that. But it's on the right side where you know that CeCe's going to be going off into the sunset. I can't imagine that he's going to be a prominent guy coming back for them. Tyson Berry, my guess is, even if he has interest in coming back and even if there's interest in having him back, I'm going to guess now, and it's just a guess, that maybe the term and the dollars don't line up for what the Leafs need to be able to do. So I think what they're looking for is a right shot defenseman who's under contract for, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, whatever, at a number that makes sense for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And if they have to give up a forward to get them, then great. But it's, as I say, it's not an easy needle to thread.
And what if you can't pull the trigger on it?
Yeah, well, exactly. But the point being is, I think they're looking. They want to do that. Now, the second part of what I was going to talk about is, you're right. If Matthews scores as many goals as we think he's going to score, and Nylander's having a big bounce back year with offensive numbers, and Marner's numbers are good, but you know what? They don't get a free pass. You don't get a free pass for playing the way you did against the Florida Panthers in Florida. That's not just the defense. You don't get a free pass for the way the team played against the Chicago Blackhawks on the last, you know, that four-game stretch ended by two horrendous efforts by the Toronto Maple Leafs. And that's not on, those efforts are not on just the defense. It's not just because they were missing Riley and Muzzin. It's not, because we've seen it when Riley and Muzzin were in the lineup time and time and time again. And it didn't matter whether the coach was Babcock or the coach was Keefe. It's the same deal. And you saw the comments from Keith where he talked about, I don't know, maybe this team's too immature to win the games that we need to win. And I think there's an element of what he's saying is true, that while the fans and the media believe this team, it's their time is now, and I think the team believes it, and I think probably Dubas and Keith deep down believe that they should be ready to win right now, maybe they're not, because we've seen it. They've had the collapse against Washington. They had a collapse against Montreal. They had, I'm trying to remember the specific collapses that they've had. Most of the time when Hutchinson was in net. But it goes to the core of what this team is all about. And they've had way too many games where they give up 3, 4, 5 goals in a period. And they it just looks like the wheels come off for 20 minutes and they don't know how to play. And then all of a sudden they come out the next period and they're scoring goals and they're rallying and they're coming back and they're making it close and you're feeling like, oh, okay, we got a chance. But there's been way too many games where for 20 minutes or 30 minutes, they're out to lunch and they get lit up. And that's not just on personnel on the defense. That goes to everybody from Tavares to Nylander, to Matthews, to Marner, to Johnsson, to Kapanen, and on and on and on it goes.
With Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider, some big news this week in terms of Connor McDavid and the seriousness of the injury he suffered in Game 82 last season, and the rehab he decided to go through as opposed to going through surgery that could have knocked him out for the full year. How did this stay so quiet? I mean, there must have been a lot of people involved in Edmonton.
Well, medical people are obliged to keep things very, very tight. And the guy who oversaw the whole operation, knows him well. I know him well, Mark Lindsay. And I wrote a chapter on him in my book, Hockey Confidential. These guys are, it's amazing
different
how these
level.
Guys put people back. It's, you can't even begin to imagine what these chiropractors, ART, soft tissue guys do, and how they put hockey players and athletes back together again and how they keep them functioning. Just on that one, I mean, you're dealing with a special player, and they were doing some next level stuff, apparently. And so they wanted, it was on a need-to-know basis, and nobody but those directly involved needed to know, and they were able to pull it off. But it doesn't surprise me in the least. And so, you know, I've seen the stories that have been written about the documentary that's going to be out, and the fact that they chronicled the whole thing. But, you know, O knows Mark Lindsay and Anthony Mascia. And
was Mark Lindsay, Bobby, the guy that, like, it was his call? Mark, like, he brought that decision, yeah, like,
Mark,
option?
Mark was, yeah, he sort of, from what I understand, he might have been the team leader on the whole thing in terms of, okay, this is a pretty unorthodox thing we're going to try and do here. But so let's, you know, this is how we can thread this needle. And it's fascinating stuff. I've always been fascinated by this stuff because I've known Mark for a long time. He was in part the guy that helped put Gary Roberts back together again too. And there were others, obviously, the doctor in Colorado that freed up all the nerve damage around his neck and his spine and what have you. But it's phenomenal what these guys can do, and just the daily treatment that they can give players to prevent injuries is off the chart. It's just the whole industry unto itself, and it's remarkable stuff.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, they got my body in premium working condition.
Right.
Do you remember that, Bob? You must have been reporting on that diligently. The O-Dog's off-season routine.
We might have to add that silence into our worst of.
Yeah, you know, it was a little shock and awe from Florida.
Yeah.
We had a little bit of a reception issue, I think.
Yeah,
anyway.
That's all it was.
Okay.
Just a little delay on the phone call.
Yeah, it happens. It's crossing state lines. It happens every once in a while. All right, Bob. Well, enjoy yourself down there, and we'll catch you again next Tuesday.
Yeah, I'll be back in probably back in studio on Tuesday.
Beautiful. We'll see you then.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Bob McKenzie, your TSN Hockey Insider, live from the McKenzie compound down in FLA.
I can't wait till I get to that point, which it will not be at Bob's age.
Yeah, that's always been a goal of mine. I don't know if I'll ever reach it, but to have a spot in Florida would be awesome.
Yeah,
like to be able
but
to
when
just,
do you want to when do you want to pull a Bobby move? Like
I don't
he's
know.
62 or something.
Yeah, like I guess you know some people would suggest it doesn't mean anything right now. Like what I say now isn't going to mean anything because I might hit.
I know,
60.
But guess when it doesn't mean anything. Also, when you're 70 something, it's
yeah.
Like,
but some people just like I may be someone that's like I want to keep working. I don't know. I doubt it, knowing my own personality, but. You know, there's you see people in this industry. Now, this industry's it's different. They turn people over, and who knows if I'm even going to have an opportunity at that point. But I might hit an age where I'm like, I could shut it down, but maybe I want to keep working. Right? And if you're in sports media during the winter months, I mean, no point in having a place in Florida for July and August.
Yeah, but you go on a Bobby routine. You just
bring the show. I could bring the show down there. That is a maneuver that happens more in radio than people know. The microphone on the road.
If you want
or set up
Max,
in the house,
would you hook me and Noodles up and host the show from the Florida kitchen and me and Noodles just comment from here?
That I would actually love to do. I don't know if TSN we're up on TV, they wouldn't allow for that. And we stream online
yeah, but
and all that.
They could double box it and have you like just a
That's a big shooter move. You bring the show on the road, and you say, "I'm going down here. If you want to send a camera down, that's fine. Set
Somebody
up a
in this industry
microphone."
Has done that before.
Well, I know multiple people that have done that before.
You know what I'm talking about.
Multiple people that have done it before, and it's a great move. It's a tough move to pull off, but it's a great move.
There's been people that have done it in different time zones.
That's right. That's right. We'll get to our best bets, brought to you by ProLine. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the NBA board tonight, barn burner in Cleveland. Cleveland taking on Washington. I will take the home team simply because they're at home. Laying 1.5, I'll take Cleveland. I'll take the points with Brooklyn at home, the Lakers on a back-to-back. And I'll take the points Portland at home, +4.5 against Dallas. Throw down 20, you can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game. With ProLine, it's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. Zion Williamson not playing tonight. Made his debut last night. 17 straight points, 4 for 4 from 3. We have Brian Windhorst on from ESPN in the first hour.
You just said he's not playing tonight, Lord?
Well, they're not playing. So
Oh, okay.
That's why he's not playing. But the minute restriction is, I think, necessary, appropriate, expected, right? I think it was actually the perfect debut because the score is totally irrelevant. San Antonio, New Orleans, they're not any good. New Orleans is close enough to getting in there, but...
It was the perfect debut because it put himself into the spotlight. When Windhorst says, wow, I've never seen anything like that, fan base listens in, and it's like the Pelicans are on the map, and it's everything you would want from your star guy. If it was just kind of ho-hum, looked out of shape, blah, 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 people are like, what do we got here?
Right, which is kind of what it was early on. Like, he only played 18 minutes last night, but you leave them wanting more. Right, like if he stays in the game,
yeah, you leave the building saying, man, imagine this guy in a month.
Imagine if he played 35 minutes, or if he kept playing throughout the rest of the fourth quarter, maybe they come back and win the game. But what if he keeps playing and he starts throwing up bricks, and then all of a sudden looks like he's run out of gas? Perfect scenario. Pull him from the game when he's red hot. Leave everyone wanting more. Most importantly, in New Orleans, your own fan base. The ratings were through the roof last night for his debut on ESPN, which I'm not surprised about. And Windhorst was, like, almost in awe of his size. Like, he said he doesn't know if courts are built properly for Zion Williamson because of all the testing they've done on him and his power. And
this is a guy who's seen Shaq.
Well, he said with Shaq, they had to change the way they built, you know, backboards and baskets because he's ripping them down.
Reinforce the floors now?
No, there's nothing you can do, but he is that big and that powerful, and he can jump out of the gym. Like, he went for that rebound in the fourth quarter last night. That was Barkley-esque. That was Rodman-esque. He's
you
built
just
like
wonder
Larry
how,
Johnson.
Like, at that weight, how his knees and how his lower body is going to handle that.
I don't know. Because at that weight, how do you jump like that?
I have no idea.
It doesn't make any sense.
No.
Like, he's, as Windhorst said, he's one of one. We've never seen anyone built like that, that explosive. He's got hops almost like Vince Carter.
Yeah, it's scary stuff.
And he's 285. He's not 7 feet.
Yeah. He's going to be, Karen Lindsay are going to be leading off SportsCenter with him.
Such a bummer.
On the reg.
He didn't play here in Toronto.
No, I know. Wasn't that the first game of the year?
Yeah, it was. It was opening night. And that was what, like, it was set up for. Why else would you have New Orleans playing Toronto on opening night? So that Zion could be there opening night. Didn't happen. Next year. I think that's the guy you got to go see play. Like, already he's in that McDavid territory. We started the show talking about, you know, different athletes in different settings that you really would like to pay to see. I would love to pay to follow Tiger Woods around Sunday at a major, specifically at Augusta. As you said and other people have pointed out, don't even bother because you can't get close. But in hypothetical terms, that would be amazing. Mayweather fighting. Conor McGregor's another guy I wouldn't mind seeing a fight live featuring McGregor. Like a big fight. Yeah. If he fought Habib for the second time, that'd be cool. In Vegas.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes. I've seen McDavid live, but I can't get enough. Like, McDavid would still be the guy in the NHL. And I think Zion Williamson is the guy in the NBA. Simply because I know I'm spoiled. I've seen LeBron live. I've seen Curry live. I've seen Durant live. That's the guy. Like, you got it feels like he's already like the eighth wonder of the world. You got to see this guy jump at 6'6", 285. You're not going to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he made his debut last night, and that's that. People are still writing in based on what we talked about to start the show. James Corden lying to the world, fake news that he's actually driving during the car karaoke or whatever they call it. Carpool karaoke.
What is the? They're still actually pissed or shocked or somehow like feeling ripped off?
Yeah, essentially, because the video came out courtesy. I don't know who found the video or who shot the video. Someone in Hollywood, because James Corden, you said he was driving around with Bieber again.
Yeah.
Well, because Bennington just tweeted out or just told the media that Bieber's not showing up in St. Louis. Remember that was supposed to happen?
Good job, Bieber, by the way. Tell everybody you're coming and then just say no.
Didn't he say? I thought he accepted the invitation.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe he's not, or he pulled the shoot or whatever, but it was supposed to be Bieber versus Bennington. 10 breakaways. If he scores, Bennington has to spend some money on a charity, or Bieber's got to spend some money on a charity. Well, it kind of sounds like Bieber's not going to show up now. And this might be why, because James Corden called him up and said, why don't we get dragged around in a Range Rover and do some singing? And it kind of takes away from the whole carpool karaoke, as far as I'm concerned. Be way more impressive if the artist hit their notes knowing that Corden is distracted and still trying to hit lights in Hollywood. Getting dragged around. You might as well be on a park bench, like I said. Might as well be sitting
I thought it was the obvious.
In studio.
I thought it was the obvious that this guy was not actually driving. Like, he's got to be singing with these people, and I know people sing in their cars, but come on, man.
Ben Bailey, who is the guy who drives around the cash cab all over Toronto.
Yeah, I know him.
He tweets out, I feel like such a fool. I've actually been driving the cash cab all these years. Hashtag oops. I think the cash cab's big down in the States. Like, I think it's a big show all over the place. They shoot it here in Toronto, but
yeah.
The reason I mentioned
I know
that,
the cash cab.
You know the guy personally?
I do. I did a thing with him. He did like a stand-up thing. Or he did a cash cab in a hall.
He's really good at it.
Oh, yeah. He's unbelievable.
It is a cool show. I thought it was like exclusively Canadian, but when we were down in San Fran, those kids from Louisiana that I told you about, they mentioned the cash cab. So the cash cab is...
He's famous.
Big in Louisiana, anyway. Big in Canada, big in Toronto, and big down in the South. So, anyway.
Are we going to check in with Noodles tomorrow to see what the hell's going on with him?
I think we leave him alone. I know what's up with him. He's back in his old stomping grounds, too. You know, St. Louis was one of his favorite towns. I'd say that was the height of his career. Like, when he talks about...
Oh, yeah, being Grant Fuhr's backup and...
Yeah, he won a Jennings, I believe, with the two of them. They won a President's Trophy. That's where he won his Masterton. He was a member of that team.
Yeah. He's a legend there.
That's his go-to. I'll bet he's out with
Chaser.
That's
probably the only reason he wanted to go there. That, like, that's my old town.
Yeah, absolutely. He's got connections down there. And yeah. I know Pronger's down there. Kelly Chase will be down there. All the boys will be there. You know Noodles will be getting up to no good tonight. So I say we leave him alone.
All right, buddy.
But I think Pooley, who's in here tomorrow? Pooley? Dave Pullen's in here. Best Portuguese Chicken will be in here. That has been locked in. So make sure you're ready to feed tomorrow. We look forward to that. And, yeah, we'll go from there.
We're going to be back tomorrow.
At 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
Scarborough Nissan is one of the largest volume Nissan dealers in the GTA. Happy New Year from everyone at Scarborough Nissan. Safety first. Please remember, don't drink and drive. The Winter Warrior Sales event is on now. Take advantage of lease and finance rates as low as 0% APR on select models OAC or up to $6,000 standard rate finance cash on select models. Scarborough Nissan, driving satisfaction. Visit them on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Avenue. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com. You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Powered by Scarborough Nissan, driving satisfaction. It's Nissan's Winter Warrior event. Lease or finance from 0% or get up to $6,000 in standard rate finance cash on select models. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.